We're studying in Luke 17:25 the word suffer. Pascho, P-A-S-C-H-O. And we've been looking at the sufferings of Christ, and now we've got a couple more to look at. Hebrews 9:26. Start in verse 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the patterns of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So God has once offered to bear the sins of many unto them that look for him, shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. I think that's the only scripture that says the Holy of Holies was a pattern or a figure. It just says the holy place, but it's where the high priest entered once a year, and so that has to be the Holy of Holies. So, now let's go to Hebrews 13. Let's start in verse 5. Let your conversation or manner of life be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Now, what does contentment mean? I just want to take us a minute there.
I was thinking of this when you read that, but the emphasis is like, be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you.
Amen.
It's like, if he's there, you don't need anything.
Amen.
Everything is provided.
It's a permanent state of mind, is the way it's described. It's a certainty that there is never an issue that you have to deal with. Be content with what's things that you have. It's a permanent state of mind. No matter what transpires, no matter what takes place. All right, that's not what we're studying anyway. In verse 7, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, consider the end of their conversation or manner of life. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace and not with food, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Now the word reproach there is this word, the suffering. We bear his suffering outside the camp. There's another scripture that says we are fed in the camp, but we bear his reproach outside the camp. And as I've said before, this is talking exclusively about, to talk about bearing his reproach outside the camp, it's always about what happens, the reproach of others to you because of who you contain, who you are. But if you don't ever let anybody know who you are, then you never bear his reproach. Is that clear? All right. This word, Pasco, is what now applied to the disciples. So let's start in the book of Acts, to us. That last one was to us also, bearing his reproach outside the camp. Now we go to Acts chapter 9, I think. Yeah. Remember, the book of Acts was written by Luke, and it was originally one book. Luke and Acts was originally one letter, one book. And it was written by Luke for a leader of the church whose name was Theophilus, so that he would set in order, because there was so much crap had gone on. And people writing the Gospel of Matthew. Thomas was the most famous one because they found it. But there's all kinds of others that there were hundreds of people that claimed to have written something about Christ. And it's mostly just crap. So Luke's job, with Paul's assistance, was to set in order all things concerning the mystery of God. All right, so we're now in Acts 9. And this is the conversion of Paul. Well, let's start in verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is chosen, a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. I remember, I've told you this story before, but Lester Summerall, I interviewed him before he died. And he was bragging about the government coming and taking away the child care permit that they had because there was all kinds of crap going on. And he was saying, I'm suffering great things for Christ. And I told him, I said, you're not suffering for Christ, you're suffering for being stupid. And I think if I remember right, he walked out, which I didn't blame him. But the idea of just because you're suffering, doesn't mean you're suffering for his name's sake. You are fed in Jerusalem. You bear his reproach outside the camp. I can't tell you that enough. All right, let's go look at one more. Let's see, where else is that talked about? It's not what's supposed to be in my Bible. It's supposed to be right there.
Maybe if you had glasses.
Shut up, Pete. This is where Paul is relating his conversion to the king, Agrippa. So starting in chapter 26, verse 12.
Of Acts.
Verse 12. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And as we know, that's a may have been a proper translation at the time of King James, but it means, how long will you resist the divine or heavenly impulse? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of the things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. In other words, he's not testifying of anything except his conversion and the things in which he saw Christ in whatever situation he was in. And this is critical. A witness both of the things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now, the problem is we don't believe. We don't believe that the human race is operating under the power of Satan. Satan is defeated, but his power is still manifest in the human race because of the fall. And so as long as you're operating on the basis of your mind, you're operating on the basis of Satan. No exception. And if you don't see that, you won't have compassion. You won't understand why you have to pull them out of the fire. And some have compassion. You have to pull them out of the fire. Now, this is radical. To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto the power of God. Does anybody anymore believe that the human race is living under the power of Satan? They walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That's why we are called to come out of the world, come out of the system, be not conformed to any part of it. Not conform, we give breath to nothing in it.
We're still in it, and that's where our trials take place. So we don't come out of it.
You come out of the world system. And so that you're in it, but you're no longer of it. Most believers are still of it. Because something's going to happen in the future that'll make them not up. Remember, the world, Egypt is a type of the world, the survival of the fittest. Babylon is a type of your religion. But the main religion of the world is cause and effect. It's universally worshipped. As long as you live by cause and effect, you're still in the world. All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1.
This to me kind of speaks to repentance. It speaks to repentance loudly in that we are in it and we're tempted to be of it. But as we see and remember and hear, that's when we turn from it, as we understand what it's trying to do to us. So repentance turns to God and goes back to the rest.
Right, but we must, the repentance must be continuous. If you see yourself in the world again, following the world system again, then you repent again. It's not a one time for all time. It's a way of life. It's frightening to think that I'm not going to use these familiar tools anymore. Amen. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, chapter 1. Paul, starting verse 3, Paul is talking about his afflictions. Verse 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same offerings which we
sufferings.
Also
enduring of the same sufferings.
Which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Now that doesn't make any sense. This makes no sense to the mind. We can't possibly believe that whether we be afflicted is for your consolation and salvation. What the hell does that mean?
Maybe when you others see you being comforted in your suffering.
Oh, I know what it means. That was being a rhetorical.
I know, I was just helping you out.
It's that you continue in the faith in spite of the sufferings.
And this is not something people really would like to hear. They would like to hear
that they're going to be spared
suffering.
Right, that's right. If they were healed, then they'd be a witness. No. You're a witness by faith, remaining faithful in the midst of the suffering. Is that clear? All right. Let's go to Galatians 3. Verse 1. O foolish Galatians. Everybody find it? O foolish Galatians. He's talking to us. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it yet be in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Have you suffered so many things in vain? Or have you come up with formulas and laws and ways of doing it instead of just being? We got to have how-tos. Every time we have a how-to, we fall back under the law. Anybody understand that? Because this isn't just talking about Jewish law, it's talking about the way a thing works. And so we try to get it pat. This is how I'm going to do it. If I do this, then that will happen. So I got to remember to do this, so that will happen. Cause and effect, law. The just shall live by his faith alone. All right. Philippians. Chapter 1. Verse 27. Only let your conversation, again, manner of life, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me. It is given to you not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Not a very popular message. All right. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2.
First Thessalonians chapter 2.
I'm starting verse 11. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth its children, that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you into his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For you, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For you also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us. And they please not God, and are contrary to all men. All right, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. So that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecution and tribulation that you endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer.
Getting around this tribulation thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're just looking at a handful of them. Alright. We're going to continue on. Let's go to 2 Timothy. Never mind. 2 Timothy... Well, let's start at verse 6.
Chapter 1?
Yeah. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now remember, this is Paul's last letter, just before he was beheaded. And he's writing it to the disciple that became an apostle. And he's exhorting him in love because he's not going to see him anymore. So let's start in verse 6 again. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 12, is for which things I also suffer, for which cause I also suffer these things. What did he do? Why is he suffering now? He's suffering from a medical issue, a physical issue, and he has all the time. But now he's about to be beheaded. Why? Because what he said was a threat to the Roman Empire. Remember the first century Christians after the fire. A law was passed in the capital of Rome. And it accused, this is when they were first called Christians at Antioch. But it accused the Christians of being seditious in that they hated humanity. Why were they so excited? You heard me talking about this before. But they were so excited with the fire in Rome that they thought it was the end. And they threw all their possessions, and money, and everything onto the fire, thinking it was the end. It seems silly, but really that's manifest faith. All right, one more. 1 Peter. Chapter 3. Verse 14 through 17, I think. But anyway, but if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to have an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereof they speak evil of you, as of an evildoer, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good manner of life in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Which, anyway, we talked about that.
Well, we didn't finish, but it's time to quit. We've almost finished.
You can't escape suffering. The human race has suffering. But the human race knows nothing of bearing his reproach outside the camp. Think on these things. Amen?
Take it. We've been given a meaning for life, but it's also a meaning for suffering.
And
that's like, that's why it's happening. People's life. This is ridiculous, random idiocy.
But you notice that how once you've been at this for a while and you've got a community, that we try to protect ourselves. Did anybody notice that?
Yeah. No, we don't.
Yeah, right.
What do you mean by that? What do you mean by that?
Well, we have conditions before we take a homeless person. Before, we just took them in.
Sure.
We have good reasons for protecting. Huh?
We kind of got our asses kicked, but we did it.
No, I mean, that's the point. That's when the mystery was a lie.
I know.
We're also trying to protect the homeless person.
That's right. All right. Take a big breath.